Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. We'll see what winds up happening with the debates or not. But Seth Meyers said after the Commission on Presidential Debates announced the debate would be virtual, President Trump said he would not take part in the event. So as a proxy, they're just going to throw up a badger who's been separated from her babies. Trevor Noah said, oh, man, you got to love Trump sometimes. He's just that openly admitting he won't do a virtual debate because they'd make him follow rules. Trevor Noah, to be honest, Trump hating Zoom is maybe the most relatable thing he's done since he became president. James Corden said it's Trump's fault. We all have to do 15 Zoom meetings a day. He should be forced to go at least one, shouldn't he? Stephen Colbert said, yeah, Trump's time is very precious, he said while calling Fox Business in the middle of a deadly plague. Here's the article I didn't get to on Saturday. Oh, before I forget, if you didn't listen to Saturday's episode, at the end of the episode, I did a story about Wayne Knight. You know him as Newman, and Wayne seemed very, very serious about the role. And he mentioned that Newman is one of the iconic postal roles, which I guess it is, and I started ranking them in my head, and I don't even think it's number one. Cliff Clavin from Cheers has to be number one, right? He's like more post office-y than Newman, right? So I'd put Cliff 1, Newman 2, and then I was trying to think of anybody else on the list, and I came up with Ken Berry on Mayberry RFD. That was the Andy Griffith Show spinoff minus Andy Griffith. So like Andy Griffith left the Andy Griffith Show and they tried to keep going, kind of like the aftermath of the Andy Griffith Show. I believe he was the Postmaster General. I haven't seen Mayberry RFD in a long time. I'm doing that from memory. All right, this is the article I mentioned on Saturday that I just didn't have time to get to because the episodes have been quite long lately. Been a lot of comedy news. Not like Labor Day week. Remember Labor Day week when I was scraping the bottom of the barrel and Googling Ricky Gervais four times a day hoping for anything? Ricky adopted a cat, by the way. Very cute. This is called The Rise and Fall of Jerry Seinfeld. Oh my, this from The Forward. And they wrote, the first gratuitous name drop in Jerry Seinfeld's new book, Is This Anything?, shows up on page 253. A luxury car reference follows soon after. The name drop, I had breakfast with Colin Quinn, and the car reference, we chose one of the greatest convertibles of all time, the 89 Porsche 911 Speedster, and did the trip. Tease Seinfeld's late post-sitcom career as the host of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee in the context of the almost 500-page book, which collects five decades of the comic's material, blah, blah, blah. The book consists of 98% jokes, organized chronologically by decade, but read closely, the interstitial section about Quinn in the car can be read as something of an excuse. Seinfeld has just finished his hit run on the sitcom, and he is, as he reports, doing nothing. No stand-up, no writing, just breakfast with Quinn and the trip in the Porsche. It took seeing Chris Rock, another name drop, to get started on a new act. He emerges, now with a wife and kids, smug, derivative, and at times just nasty. That's a shame, but then we all grow up. The Forward continues and says, part of what makes this transformation such a pity is that the young Seinfeld is something of a savant. He seems to effortlessly mine 5 minutes from cotton balls that sit in women's bathrooms like peat moss bags. This is his 70s material, where he's a Queens College kid, high off the energy of other funny people and a viewing of the Lenny Bruce biopic, Lenny. The specificity and curated detail reveal his early gift, observing things that we've all observed unconsciously, but giving them a new dimension. The Forward then talks about his 80s, then in the 90s, the shortest segment of the book, the output slows. Seinfeld's focus on the show and the bits used in the sitcom's bumpers are, as the comic says, not my favorite stuff, but what's representative is good. He still seems to be striving, somehow succeeding on the wings of a wild premise. What made Seinfeld work is the same stuff that serviced Seinfeld's stand-up. The show was episodic, no one grew or changed. And then the aughts roll around. Seinfeld is obscenely wealthy. He marries and enters what I'll call his marriage ref stage. Suddenly, the keen insights pivot to matters most comics have opinions on. We're in the uninspired world of feminine doublespeak. Seinfeld says he loves being in his 60s because if someone asks you to do something, you just say no. The younger Seinfeld, in contrast, looked forward to being older so he could tell his grandchildren of a time before dogs had the vote. To his credit, Seinfeld's latest stuff still has glimmers of his old genius for the trivial, like when he recalls the astonishing advent of Pop-Tarts. It's in these humble remembrances that we spot the old Jerry, an icon in the making. Iconic in his own right. That's in The Forward. I excerpted from there. You should check out the entire thing. Deadline recently caught up with Jerry and Steve Martin. They were talking about the Oscars, and Steve said the absence of a comedy presence at the Oscar, it's a lifetime dismissal of comedy, and we who make it know that we really work hard. You know, drama has an inherent weight, and comedy has an inherent lightness. So, I mean, I don't worry about that. I don't worry that comedians don't get Oscars. Jerry Seinfeld agrees. He says the audience is the ultimate judge of what has value. If they pay to see something, that's their way of saying, this is important to us, we love this. Comedians don't need awards and acclaim to be taken seriously. If you have a life in comedy, this is the award you get to be in comedy. I don't think he did that particular Jerry Seinfeld delivery, but I like doing that one. Seymour said, I once wrote a piece for The New Yorker called Where Comedians Are on Oscar Night. Chris Rock's at home and Eddie Murphy's doing this, but nobody's there and they need comedians to host it. I say, why don't you just get an actor to host it? We have another one of those comedians promoting voting things. This one from readtheeffingdirections.com. Spread the Vote has launched readtheeffingdirections.com because mail-in voting can be a bit confusing. That is true. Readtheeffingdirections.com is a website with detailed breakdowns about how you can fill your vote-in by mail ballot in your state, because there are all kinds of rules, as well as ranking each state by level of difficulty. And who better to shout curse words at you than a bunch of comedians? Those comedians include Roy Wood Jr., Josh Johnson, Marina Franklin, and Carmen Lynch. And they want you to readtheeffingdirections.com. Adam Sandler was on Ellen, Hubie Halloween, great movie. Everybody's watching it. Haven't watched it yet. Kind of busy, Adam. I'll get to it. Probably won't. Adam's been growing out a beard during the pandemic, and everyone hates it, including Adam Sandler, strangers, everyone hates it. But he says he's going to keep it because he's a contrarian and because he needs it for an upcoming movie. He told Ellen, this has been about half an hour. I shaved half an hour ago, and I don't know why I did it. I grew it out during the pandemic. Nobody likes it. Nobody on the street likes it. Nobody in the house likes it. But for some reason, I'm like, that's a good sign. I should keep it. It's like his movies. They're not good, but he keeps making them. So grow a beard, Adam Sandler. Sadly, I'm keeping it for a movie I'm about to shoot, so it's sticking around for a while. He's also been intermittent fasting. He said he weighed himself on a doctor's office, and he realized the scale wasn't exactly where he expected. I took my shirt off. I stripped down on my underwear. I took my sneakers off because I didn't want the extra pounds from that. And I stood at the doctor's scale. And you know how those are pretty accurate? I put it at the spot I thought it would be, but I had to take that big thing and move it to the next spot. And it went pretty high. And I was very sad with myself. Adam Sandler is 54. Chris Rock is all excited now that he's on Fargo. He told Deadline, I'm getting some pretty meaty offers in the past few days. Yeah, I'm ready to do more stuff like this, more meaty roles. He said, comedy is harder than drama, but drama holds up better. Rock said, I just worked with Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's in the Truman Show, right? There's 50 actors who could have been in the Truman Show. There's one guy who could do Dumb and Dumber. You can almost call comedy the serious thing. The degree of difficulty is much greater. Jokes are often reference dependent, while a great drama just lasts and lasts and doesn't atrophy or anything. So yeah, I guess I'm ready to do roles that last longer, but I put comedy and drama on the same level. And from Vulture, according to Variety, Andy Samberg, Craig Robinson, and Common are developing a superhero action comedy. This is about superheroes that don't just get stoned, they have to get their abilities. Super High is a superhero movie where smoking a special strain of weed gives superpowers to the smoker. All right, that's your comedy news for today. Hey, if you like the show, you know, tell somebody on social media that, like, hey, there's this podcast you should check out. I would appreciate that. I would love to hear from you. I want to do some mailbag questions. So if you're like, hey, how come he never talks about whatever, put it under my nose at DCN Pod on Twitter, at DCN Pod. At McD Radio, at MCD Radio, or the Facebook page, facebook.com/weeklycomedy thing. You can hit me up there, and I'll see you tomorrow.